In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Congratulations, today is the first Sunday of the Great Fast. I hope all of us are taking the opportunity and joining the church and fasting. It's a great blessing. I have even better news. Today's gospel is a solution for our financial crisis, and it will teach us how to invest our money to guarantee growth when it matures. So anybody interested, this is it. The first thing I want to just mention a couple of things before we get into the nitty-gritty. First thing is that every man has a treasure. It speaks here that don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. So it doesn't say if you have treasures, lay them up. If you don't have treasures, but it says lay up for yourselves. So it's the underlying assumption that everybody has a treasure. But the question is, what is that treasure, or what is my treasure? A treasure is a person or an object that is a value for that I value for its assistance and how it can help me or what it can provide. And a lot of times we're very attached to this particular treasure or a certain treasure. For some of us, the obvious treasure could be money, and we're attached to money. Another treasure could be maybe popularity and acceptance among my peers and my coworkers. We might try to wear nice clothes to impress people around me. We might try to, have like the largest home so people can look at us and, look at us with respect and honor. And even some of us, might want to have the latest game for Xbox or PlayStation, whatever it is, so my friends can, want to come over and play with me and things like that. Some of us also, our treasure could be power. I like to have power. I like to be in control. I want to be the one whose opinion is carried out. Some of us also just like to be recognized by others. We want to, maybe do stuff to be recognized so people, express their appreciation for us. And some of us even, we might do things to make it seem as if we're spiritual. So we might, we're always on church, we're first ones at church, we're this and that, we're all the Bible studies and all the tisbehas and everything, but really deep down there's no real relationship. Some of us just do that just to, make it look like we are spiritual. So all these things are treasures that we might have, something we value. What is it that I get out of it that makes me want more and more and more? Believe it or not, even some people will brag about their kids. If God has shown them grace, that I have raised good kids, they will brag about their kids and say, oh, my kid's this, my kid's that, he gets good grades, he's always in church, he's this, he's a great deacon. And sometimes we brag about our kids as if, our kids are the best in the world, and mfish had gherhom. And a lot of times, this is actually by God's grace. I know many great people, wonderful people, whose kids don't turn out that well. So it's by God's grace and by His mercy that He allows, our kids to be raised in a manner that might be pleasing to Him. So all these things can be treasures, things that I value, that I want to lay up and store. And when these treasures, we want to carry them and take them and gather as much as we can. Nobody who has, say $100,000 is content. They want to have more. Nobody that has $1 million is content with it. There's always this desire for more. So whatever our treasure might be, there's that underlying desire to gain more. And sometimes we sacrifice things to do that. For example, if I want to be popular, I might sacrifice, I might lie or cheat for it. I might backstab my friend, talk behind their back, or gossip to gain, popularity among my peers. Even the point about looking spiritual, sometimes, we put on these masks just to make it, make people perceive that we are spiritual people. So we sacrifice many things in trying to gain and collect all these treasures, and to lay them up for ourselves. But the question is, we have to ask ourselves, what is our treasure, and what am I willing to sell to obtain these treasures? Definitely, there's nothing free in this world. Everybody knows that. If I want something, I have to pay for it, whether directly or indirectly. If I want a high position at work, I got to put the hours in it. I remember one of my jobs before this one, my manager, I had a problem because I would stay for like 12 hours a day, and I had a real problem with that because I didn't have time for my family. So I approached him about it, and his response was, if you want to grow in this company, you have to be willing to put in the hours. So I wasn't willing to sacrifice, you know, my growth in the company and put those kinds of hours in. So I just, I quit and I left. So the demand that's put on us to collect all of these treasures, it comes at a price. We're going to have to give up something. Are we going to have to give up our family? We're going to have to give up maybe our spouse, maybe our brothers or sisters. We'll have to give up our time that's spent here in church. We're going to definitely give up God, because there's always enmity between the earth, the things that are earthly, and godly. So there's definitely a price that's going to be paid. But I want to make something clear. When our Lord says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, Christ doesn't want to deprive us of, you know, of anything or any possessions, but he wants to direct us to use these possessions for something. He wants to direct us towards, instead of being attached to these, you know, possessions or treasures, he wants us to be detached from them by our own, you know, will. So by all means, God doesn't, you know, want to deprive us. He wants us to live poor and not have anything, but he just wants us to be detached from them. And that's why he says, do not lay up. He doesn't say do not have treasures. He says, do not lay up treasures on earth. So laying up is kind of like storing in the bank or storing, you know, in your warehouses, whatever it might be. It's that storing away that is the issue, not the treasures or the possessions themselves. And that's why he says, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't say that it's impossible for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven, but he says that it's difficult. I know plenty of rich men that we will likely see in heaven. Example, maybe Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, and he left his position as CEO of Microsoft to work on charity work. And he gave, I don't know how many billions of dollars to charity. And one like him is Warren Buffett, who's probably the second richest man in the world, who also, they joined together and made a charity and gave so much money to the world and to the needy. And they're doing a service in Africa. You know, maybe if we were Mrs. Gates or Mrs. Buffett or whatever, we would probably be in our mansion at home, you know, having like 10 servants, you know. But no, they're in Africa trying to do mission work and do charity. So surely these people used their money wisely, and they'll be so rewarded. So it's not the money that's the issue, but it's how we use it. Many of us sometimes feel that God is depriving us of something. And this reminds me of a classic Broadway play that I saw called Fiddler on the Roof. And I really like this. It's about a Jewish man. And his family has 5 daughters. They're a very poor Jewish family, and he's trying to find husbands for all 5 of his daughters. So that's a task for any man. But he says something nice. He says, and he always had these little dialogues with God, which was what I liked in the movie or in the Broadway play. He said, "You made many, many poor people, God." And I realized that, of course, being poor is not a bad thing. It's not shameful. But it's not honorary either. And he said, would it be so bad if I had just a small fortune? Just wouldn't it be so bad? Would it kill you? Would it destroy your whole master plan if I had just a small little fortune? And God never gave him the big fortune that he wanted or the small fortune. But he did get him, allow him to marry off his daughters. So sometimes we feel the same thing, that maybe God is, you know, we feel that God is depriving me of something or some kind of possession or some kind of treasure that I want. And this is actually the way Adam and Eve felt. Adam and Eve felt when that God was depriving them from eating of this particular tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of knowledge. So because he wanted to keep them from having the knowledge of good, between good and evil. And of course, we know what happened to that when they didn't obey. So God, our God is a generous God. He doesn't want us to deprive us, but he wants us to use the gifts that he has given us for his glory and to use it to edify and to build, and not for, you know, to store away and to put our trust in those kind of things. It says our father, our teacher, St. Paul the Apostle says in Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So our God is a generous God, to the point where he gave his only begotten son for us to put us in heaven. God looked down at us and said, you know, he's sitting up there in heaven, and he's, you know, in perfect harmony, perfect peace, perfect love, because he's the source of all these things. And he looks down and looks at us and says, they're not in as good a place as I am. How can I get them here? So he wants to bring us to him. He wants to give us. So he sent his son to bring us to himself. So God is a generous God. He doesn't want to deprive us of anything, but he gives us what is necessary for here on earth. But there comes with this, there are a couple of warnings about these treasures that we have to be aware of. The first is that we should beware not to make these treasures or these temporal things as priorities in our life and place in them our happiness. So we shouldn't place in these treasures that we're collecting our source of happiness. Because if our source of happiness is going to come to them, upon it, eventually it's going to grow cold and we're going to want more and desire more. But our happiness and joy should come from God, and we should be fulfilled in that. And we shouldn't put our value upon them. We shouldn't sell everything we have, including our own soul and our own salvation, to gain some kind of earthly treasure. Whether it be satisfaction from people complimenting me or telling me good things, or whether having many zeros behind our bank account, whatever it may be, what are we willing to sell? Am I going to sell my soul or not? And I read something really nice on the internet the other day, and it said, I've never seen, and I hope you've never seen, a hearse pulling a U-Haul truck on the way to a funeral. I've never seen one. If you have, I bet you're probably like, what are they doing? They're not taking anything with them. So we're not going to put stuff in the U-Haul and take it with us to the grave. Nothing's going to come with us. It's just the body that goes in the coffin alone. So nothing here on earth is really going to satisfy. And Solomon the Wise, you know, is our proof of that. He had everything he could want, but in the end he said everything is vanity, and vanity all is vanity. So we are called or cautioned not to lay up treasures in heaven, but we are told rather to lay up, we're cautioned not to lay up treasures on earth, but we are told to lay up treasures in heaven. So there must be some kind of choice, whether we're going to lay up in heaven or whether we're going to lay up on earth. So we're called as Christians to make wise choices in our life. And if you think about it, God had told the people of Israel back in the day that I have put before you the life and death, and he told us choose life. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to put you in this way, but he told you to choose life. So we're called to make the choice towards life. We're not going to be forced to do that. And in doing so, we're actually going to be in control of our own destiny. Many of us have heard this saying before, we're in control of our own destiny, which is true. We can choose whether to obey or to disobey. So why shouldn't we lay up treasures on earth is the question. And we have two reasons that the gospel speaks about today. First, he says, because where moth and rust destroy. So as you guys know, moth are those little bugs that eat at our clothes and they put holes in them. And rust, I don't know if any of you have lived up north, but and experienced the salt that they put on the ground for the snow and on the bottom of the cars, if you ever looked on any of the bottom of the cars, they probably have a lot of holes in them from the salt that eats away and the rust that eats away at the bottom of the car. So rust destroys and makes holes, and so do moths. So one reason why we shouldn't lay up treasures on earth is because everything's corruptible. There's nothing that's in this world that's not corruptible. All the money that we have in our pocket will eventually get so old that it has to go back to the treasury to be burned. All the gold that we have will eventually, you know, one day be buried in the sand and is going nowhere. So everything is corruptible. The second reason is because they can be stolen. If you look at the rich people spend so much time and energy protecting their money and their investment. They always said the people that win the lottery either like commit suicide or they go crazy trying to protect their fortune, or they go bankrupt. So they spend so much time and energy fearing over this money that they have, which is their treasure. They feel like that is their security, so they want to guard it. They put up fences, they put up security systems, they get guard dogs to watch their house, all sorts of things to kind of try to protect their riches and their treasures. So, but if a thief wants to come in, they'll come in. And once the thief comes in and steals, you can do nothing about it. So the treasures that we lay on earth are liable to be stolen by other people. If I have a problem and I like people to praise me and to offer me glory and to say these things about me, and somebody comes in the room that might be better than me, and people might compliment them, then I get jealous and I get angry and then I automatically hate this person. Where's my treasure? Where's my treasure? So we shouldn't lay up these treasures on earth, but rather why we should lay them up in heaven. Why should we lay them up in heaven? One, I said, because we're called to make wise choices, also the treasures reveal where our heart is. If we really want to look and assess ourselves where my spiritual life is and where my heart is, look where our treasures are. And this is one of the things that the Lord says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And treasures are apparent for all of us. All of us know what it is that attracts me, and you know what is it that I want to keep collecting more of. All of us know what it is. So we need to kind of look in ourselves and see what's in our heart. And where should our heart really be? Solomon the Wise says something nice. He says, on the voice of God, he says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." So our hearts belong in the hand of God. So if our hearts are there, do our treasures match up with that? If our treasures don't match up with that, then we need to reevaluate why these treasures are consuming so much of my time and energy. So what are the heavenly treasures? We spoke about, you know, the earthly treasures, and we spoke about how we should, you know, not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven. And how storing up heaven treasures in heaven is what we're instructed to do. But what are these treasures that were the heavenly treasures that we're called to store up? Actually, the gospel of last week spoke about them. Last week, before the fast, the church taught us three main things, the three main principles: prayer, fasting, and what else? Giving of alms. So the church taught us these three things. These are our treasures. And after each one of these, if we noticed last week in the gospel, it said, you know, when you go in to pray, close your door, and then your heavenly Father who sees you will do what? Will reward you openly. So this is our reward. These are our treasures that we have. So prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are the treasures that we can lay up for ourselves in heaven. And he says that he'll reward us openly. So it's not dollar for dollar in heaven. It's going to be kind of like an open fountain. If you've ever seen like somebody win like the slot machine, you put in one coin and all these coins start falling out. God does more than that. And when God does it, it just doesn't stop. It just keeps filling your house in heaven. So he will reward us openly. So we should, you know, strive to look after and gain these treasures that are in heaven. And we have to remember, if we do things, whether prayer, fasting, or almsgiving, if we do them to please men, we're actually putting our treasures in other people's hands. How so? Because now, you know, if we look for that praise, then based on what they give us, that's where our treasure is going to be. I want to get a nice word from somebody. I want to get a compliment from somebody about how I look or how I'm dressed or what I'm wearing or what I drive. So we put our treasures, what means most to us, in somebody else's hand. And how many of us, if we put our treasure in somebody else's hand, we probably won't get it back, nor will they remember it in the future either. They'll offer us, you know, they might give us a word of praise here and there, but that's all we're going to hear about it. We're never going to hear a compliment. You never get a compliment saying, oh, thank you so much for lending me your car back in 1956 or whatever, you know, or 1998. You're never going to hear that. They get the initial compliment and that's it. So there's an end to it. But in heaven, God remembers everything, and everything will be rewarded with an eternal reward. And lastly, these treasures that we're storing up for ourselves in heaven are incorruptible. And that's why it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because there's no corruption, there's no theft or anything like that in heaven, but your treasures will be secure. How comforting would that be for me to know that my treasures are secure and I don't have to worry about them? And they're being stored and collected, and they're gaining interest exponentially without me having to worry about it. We don't have to worry about the stock market. We don't have to worry about protecting our house or our fortunes with safes or whatever it might be. But we know that our Heavenly Father is protecting them, and He's also putting into them interest day by day. So, in conclusion, there are several things in this world that try to tangle us, several treasures that try to tangle us in this world. But we are called in this gospel to detach and attach, to detach from the earthly treasures and to attach to the heavenly treasures. And that's why he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And remember that God's reward is everlasting. And when God, in the parable of the faithful servant, he told them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This sound of well done must have been the best news that this faithful servant will hear. And this well done, good and faithful servant will be something we hear for eternity if we lay up our treasures in heaven. May God grant us all the focus and the drive to focus all of our efforts and storing for ourselves up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.